I got in the mail a package from the Beis Havad Halacha Journal, the halachacenter.org. I don't know who they are. I think they're based in Lakewood. But they sent me this nice glossy thing with this article that was, I thought, fantastic. They had an article about drones in Halacha. If I remember in Camp Cayley, for those who've been there, I remember waking up early one morning and going to the Beis Medrash, early by camp standards, you know, like it's like 9 o'clock city time or something. But, you know, walking to the Beis Medrash and the place is like dead silent, there's no... And all of a sudden I see like a drone flying overhead and I'm looking around, where's Eitan Kestenbaum? You know, because he's taking video of the whole camp with a drone. And it's a very interesting topic. Let's say your neighbor has a drone, so he sends it over to your property and he's looking inside. You know, Google. I'm sure they have Google images of everything, so they'll drone over the whole world and they'll be able to see into your property. So if you see a drone flying over your property, are you allowed to shoot it down? It's not your drone. You're not allowed to damage in general. And is it permissible for a person to send a drone into someone else's property when there's a camera attached to it? So I thought this was an interesting topic. The first issue, just in terms of sending a drone with a camera attached to it into someone else's property, is the first sugya of Maseches Bava Basra. The Gemara Maseches Bava Basra talks about Hezek Re'iyah, that there's an Isser to Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek, that when you see someone's private property and they don't want you seeing their private property, you are infringing on their privacy. That's called Hezek Re'iyah. So the Gemara talks about, the Mishnayos talk about, that a person who has a wall that faces his neighbor's property and that wall never had windows before, he's not allowed to do a new construction where he opens up windows and now he can see right into his neighbor's yard. Imagine your neighbor has a practical example. Your neighbor has a swimming pool, and they're very religious, and they like to swim privately. They don't want people to look in when they're swimming, and no one was able to see. They have a fence around the property, but from the second floor, you open up a new window now, and now you can see right into their swimming pool. So that infringes on the way that they're going to be able to use their property, because and you don't have the right to rob them of the ability to use the property the way they have always used it and the way that they've grown accustomed to use it. Also, they point out that the whole discussion is only about opening a window, but to actually stand by the window and look while they're doing something private, while they're doing something that they don't want to be seen doing, that certainly would be usher. Standing by an open window and causing someone to be uncomfortable is certainly going to be usher to do. So therefore, it seems very obvious that if you're intentionally flying a drone over someone else's property with the intent of seeing things that are going on in that property, and they don't want you seeing what's going on in that property, that is awesome. You're not allowed to do that. That is a clear violation of Hezek Re'iyah. But what can you do? What can one do to defend oneself when there is a drone flying over your property? So the Gemara Maseches Bava Kama Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph, Koron Chosh Mishpat Simin Shin Pei Gimel, talks about a case where an ox is attacked by another ox. So my ox, I see, is not able to stand up for himself, and there's another ox that's bludgeoning my ox. So the Gemara says that I'm not allowed to just shoot the attacking ox, but what I could do is I could pull out my ox from underneath the attacking ox. If I want to get involved, I could pull out my ox from underneath the attacking ox, and if the ox that was attacking gets damaged, I'm not going to be chayev. As long as I was not going for the damage, I was going just to protect. So Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Hilchos Niskei Mamon Simon Hay explains that a person should do everything possible to try not to cause damage to someone else's property, even if that someone else is a mazik. That someone else is coming after you. You're not allowed to just go and be mazik their property just because they happen to be mazik you. And that's why he says, the Gemara is careful, it says, pull out your ox. You're not directly damaging the other ox. You're not allowed to directly damage the other ox. But the Shulchan Aruch HaRav at least implies that if the only way to save your own ox would be to shoot your friend's ox, then it would be okay. Because first and foremost, you have a right to defend your own property. So it's just that you have to take every precaution possible to defend your own property without damaging someone else. But if the only way to defend your own property is by damaging someone else, then it would be mutter. That's what the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes in honor of the Chabad Kinnis for the Shulchan. We quote the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. The Aruch HaShulchan, however, in Shin Pei Gimel disagrees. The Aruch HaShulchan says that no. Why is it that you're allowed to pull your ox out even if it's going to damage the attacking ox? because you're not doing a maisa hezek when you're pulling your ox out. You're doing a maisa hatsala. That you're what you are doing. If someone would ask you, "What are you doing?" you're going to say, "I'm saving my ox." You're not trying to hurt anybody. Your ikar maisa is a maisa hatsala. So a maisa hatsala is always going to be mutter. But to ever try to intentionally hurt something or damage something, maisa hezek, that's always going to be asur, even if by doing so you're protecting your own property. Your action has to be an act of hatsala, cannot be an act of hezek, even though that hezek may ultimately serve to protect yourself. So it turns out it's a big nafkamina between the Aruch HaShulchan and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Well, what's clear according to everybody is that you're not allowed to damage someone else's property to prevent damage to your own property if there are other ways around it. Everyone would agree that you're not allowed to shoot it down until you at least make a phone call if you know who the owner of the drone is and say, "Listen, it's not funny, please don't do this anymore." If you haven't at least taken that precaution or done something simple to protect yourself without damaging, then for sure it would be usher to damage. But if you tried that already and it didn't work, so then it might be machlokes between Shulchan Aruch HaRav and Aruch HaShulchan whether you're allowed to shoot it down. According to Shulchan Aruch HaRav, yeah, you're protecting your own property, and as long as you tried everything else, it should be fine. But the Aruch HaShulchan would say, no, you're still not allowed to do Maisa Hezek. You could do a Maisa Hatzalah, but not a Maisa Hezek. So, for example, if you put up netting around your property that would catch any drone that tries to encroach on your property, that's fine, because that's a Maisa Hatzalah. You're protecting your property rather than shooting down a drone. There's a big difference between the two. You know, there's a discussion, the Marsham in Chelek Dalet Simkov Mem talks about a guy whose neighbor had an animal that was always coming into his field and damaging his field. So he wanted to know if he could put poison out in his field so that next time the neighbor's animal comes in, if it comes in again and it damages his field, it will eat the poison and it will die. I used to have a backyard neighbor that had a viciously, I don't know if it was a loud dog. It would drive my kids crazy. My kids would be playing in the backyard. They couldn't play outside when the dog was in the neighbor's yard. The dog wouldn't even come into my yard, but it would like jump up against the fence and rattle the fence and bark so loudly it would scare them. It would really frighten them. So I thought several times about throwing a little poison over the fence to feed the dog. So the Marsham was asked about, they say chocolate poisons the dog, but it just makes it very sick. Just makes it ill. So I think the Hershey Kisses I fed it maybe didn't, whatever. So the Marsham discusses the question of not in your neighbor's property, you're going to put the poison in your own property. I'm just putting the poison down in my own property. So the Marsham quotes from a Tshuvas Chavos Yoyim. When Chavos Yoyim discusses the concept of Avid Inish Dina L'Nafshei, that a person takes the law into his own hands. Chavos Yoyim's case was a storekeeper killed a chicken that belonged to his neighbor and used to come into his store all the time and eat all the beans and all the seeds that he was selling. So the Chavos Yoyim says that that's asur, that you're not allowed to kill the chicken, because even though you're allowed to take the law into your own hands sometimes, Avid Inish Dina L'Nafshei, that's only when it's a threat to you, not a threat to your property. We don't say Avid Inish Dina L'Nafshei when the entire threat is only a threat to your property. Says the Marsham, the question about putting out poison might be different than the case of the Chavos Yoyim. By the Chavos Yoyim, you did something directly to the chicken. You went and you killed the chicken. But putting out poison in your own property, that's very indirect. You're not doing anything directly to the neighbor's animal when you put out poison. But still the Marsham says that it depends. It depends what the neighbor's intention was. If the neighbor whose animal is coming into your property was just not so careful, and that's why his animal kept coming in, said you should not damage his property. But if he was he was kavanas lahazik, he would send his animal in intending to damage you, it wasn't just stam negligence, then you are allowed to indirectly cause the animal to die. So based on that, this article, I don't know who wrote it, does it say somewhere here? Rabbi Micha Cohn, based on that, Rabbi Micha Cohn writes that based on that Marsham, maybe there's a difference between who's flying the drone. If the person flying the drone is just having fun and he's just not careful and it's going all over the place and he's not carefully controlling that it shouldn't go on anyone else's property, then maybe you're not allowed to shoot it down. But if he's dafka trying to trespass, he's dafka trying to see what you're up to, so then it would be a problem. Then you would be allowed perhaps to damage it as a way of protecting one's privacy. Now all of that assumes that there is no Dina de Malchusa. that entire discussion assumes that there is no actual legal discussion, there are no laws written on it yet. I don't know if there are or aren't, but it could very well be that once there's a Dina de Malchusa, so buying a drone means that you are committing to the Dina de Malchusa, and you're acquiescing to whatever risks that involves. And if the law is that you're allowed to shoot down a drone over your property, so then it could be that the owner, it's not called that you're being mazik, the owner of the drone, because he came into the agreement of buying it with that understanding that it's in the Malchusa. Mashal ma'adav adoma, it's like the poskim talk about when it comes to a car accident. So sometimes the halacha will say that I don't have to pay, but the din malchusa, or the halacha will say that the guy doesn't have to pay me, but the din malchusa is that he does have to pay me. His insurance company has to pay or whatever. So the halacha is din malchusa. We go with the din malchusa over there, because anyone who operates a motor vehicle, since there is a law that you need to have insurance, so it follows whatever the laws of insurance are, whatever the laws of motor vehicle damage are. It doesn't go by the halachos of choshen mishpat. That's a similar idea to what Rav Moshe writes in choshen mishpat chelek aleph. Rav Moshe says, "Nishalti me'echad imutur l'sparnis mi mischak zrikas hakadurim." He says, "I was asked if someone is allowed to professionally make a parnasa from the mischak zrikas hakadurim, shenikra ball bilaaz." Can a person play ball? What's the problem with playing ball? Sheishlochus l'sakana k'diira le'echad mikama alafim shenistakein. That once someone was beamed in the head with a 95 mile per hour fastball and it killed him, and it could be a sakana. So Moshe says, no, everyone who steps on a ball field is assuming that risk, that minuscule risk, that it may damage him, and he's accepting that. So therefore, you're allowed to play by the rules of the game, assuming it's a minuscule risk, and assuming that he's actually accepted that risk by being there. But certainly, you're not allowed to. Not everyone who's has to be someone who's participating, and not just that you're allowed to be reckless and just throw 95 mile per hour fastballs all around your neighborhood, because not everyone has accepted that risk to be in the line of fire of those things. But over here, it would seem that this would be l'chora governed by Dina de Malchusa, if there were such a thing of Dina de Malchusa. Certainly, a lot of technology provides us with toys and interesting things and fun things to do, but we just always have to be careful that it doesn't violate the halacha, as much fun as it may be.